chapter 20, verse 22 is where we'll start. Acts chapter 20, verse 22, the scripture says, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. And I thank you for each and every person that decided to come and be with us today. And Lord, I pray you'd bless them for being here. And Lord, I'm sure there are others that wanted to be here but are just not able. And I ask you to please bless them too. And if it's your will, I pray you'd heal them up or work it out to where they can come back. And Lord, we pray for each request that's been made today, whatever it's been, spoken, unspoken. We ask you to please have your way. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help me now as I try to preach. You'd please give me the exact words that you want said. I pray for liberty. I pray for the filling and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray that you'd use the message as only you can. And we'll be sure that we thank you and give you all the glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title for the message today is The Unmovable Man. The Unmovable Man. And I want to get started by saying all my life I have seen either on TV or at the movies these amazing, fictitious men. For example, one that stands out from my childhood is the Bionic Man. Anybody in here remember the Bionic Man? Amen. Some of y'all watch the Bionic Man? A fellow named Steve Austin. Wasn't that his name? Steve Austin. He had a bad accident and doctors turned him in to the Bionic Man. And I used to love watching that program. My favorite episode was when the Bionic Man fought the Bigfoot. Did any of y'all see that one? That was my favorite episode. I don't know why I had some kind of fascination with the Bigfoot. And people today still have a fascination with the Bigfoot. But I remember watching the Bionic Man just as often as I possibly could. And in my mind as a kid, I thought, that's some kind of a fella right there. This man is something else. And then as time went on, you know, you have Superman. You have Batman, you got Iron Man, Aquaman, you got the amazing Spider-Man, and then I guess to keep the ladies from feeling left out, we got Wonder Woman. That's what we got. Now, all of these are fictional, every last one. They're all fake. They're not real. They were just somebody's imagination. They come up with these people in their minds, and then they brought together movies or shows about these people to try to show us these amazing people, but they're not real. None of them are real. I think that all of us down deep inside wish that we could have those types of superpowers, do some of the things that we see demonstrated in these people that I'm talking about, these remarkable individuals, superheroes as they're defined sometimes, but they're not real. It's just not reality, and I have to remind my son of that. Sometimes we're sitting around watching Superman or whatever, and he gets all excited, and I'll just say, "Son, he ain't real. It's just not reality. That's just something that's made up. It's enjoyable to watch. You can have a good time watching it, I guess, but it's not real." We're talking about people that never existed, no reality whatsoever. But what I want to do this morning is I want to preach about a real man, somebody who actually did exist. And this man wasn't a superhero, but I can tell you this, he is to this day one of my spiritual heroes. And I call him the unmovable man. And I'm talking here about the Apostle Paul. And I call him the unmovable man because of what he said right here as it's recorded in the passage that we just read. If you'll look once again here at Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24. You'll notice Paul says, and he's talking to the elders in the church at Ephesus. And he says this to these men. He says, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Notice he says these things. And in the context of these things would be the things he had to face whenever he went to Jerusalem. Paul was en route to Jerusalem. And as he's going, he's being warned again and again by the Holy Spirit about what he's going to face when he gets to Jerusalem. Take a look right here again at verse number 22 and notice what it says. Paul says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He says, I don't know everything that's going to happen to me when I get there. But he goes on to say in verse 23, save, which is his way of saying this much I do know, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city. He says, every place I stop, the Holy Spirit tells me the same thing. And what he tells me is this. He says, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He says, every place I stop, the Holy Spirit tells me the same thing, that when I get to Jerusalem, I'm going to face bonds and afflictions. Those are the these things he's talking about in verse 24. And he says this about those things. He says, none of these things, none of those bonds, none of those afflictions, none of these things move me. Paul is talking here about what he says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, which is one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says to the church at Corinth, he says, be steadfast. Listen now. What's the next word? Unmovable. Unmovable. That's what he tells the church at Corinth. You be steadfast. Be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what Paul is talking about here when he says, none of these things move me. He's saying none of these things in any way alter, change, or hinder my current course. I'm fixed. I'm settled in. I'm like concrete. I have set up, and none of these things move me. What he's telling us is my mind is made up. I have determined that irregardless of what happens to me when I get to Jerusalem, I will not be moved. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. That's what he's telling us. And that's why I call him the unmovable man. And again, in the context, the things he would have to face are bonds and afflictions. But I got to thinking about it. And from reading through the book of Acts, and also the epistles that Paul wrote, I came up with a list of things that didn't move the Apostle Paul. And this is one of the reasons why Paul is one of my spiritual heroes. Now, Paul wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my ultimate hero, amen? But Paul was certainly a very godly man. If there's ever been a greater Christian that lived on this earth, I don't know about it. Or I don't know about her. Paul was a wonderful, godly Christian man. And this is one of the reasons why he is so important to me, why he is such an example to me as an individual, the fact that he refused to be moved by anything that he faced in life. And as we're going to see in just a moment, Paul faced a lot of things in his life. But none of those things moved him. And I know that they didn't move him because when he wrote his final epistle, when he wrote what you might call his last will and testament, which would be the book of 2 Timothy, that's the last book, as far as we know, that Paul the Apostle ever penned down. And when he wrote that book and gave his last words to young Timothy, that young preacher, this is what he said to him in chapter 4. He said, Timothy, I have fought a good fight, I have what? Finished my course. He finished his course. As he said right here in verse number 24, Acts 20, 24. He says there, so that I might finish my course with joy. That's what he wanted to do. And that, by the grace of God, is what Paul was able to do. He was able to finish his course. Nothing that he ever faced moved the Apostle Paul. What an example to follow. What a demonstration of character and integrity. A demonstration of faith in the power of God. A demonstration of commitment and faithfulness. Paul was a man who got saved and got on the road to glory, and he stayed on that road all the days of the remainder of his life. He never was moved by anything that he ever went through. And again, Paul had to deal with a lot in his life. And I just want to give you some things this morning in the next few minutes that didn't move the Apostle Paul. Some things that didn't move him. First of all, I want to say this. Talking about the unmovable man, Paul was not moved by his past. He was not moved by his past. Paul had external things that he had to deal with, and we're going to talk about some of those, but there was also internal stuff that he had to deal with on a regular basis. And one thing that I know in my heart that really ate at Paul probably a lot of times, one thing that really was a bother to him, I'm sure, even after he got saved, was his past. Whenever you read the book of Philippians, which is an epistle that Paul wrote, and you come to chapter 3, you see that Paul references his past. In fact, he gives some detail about his past. And one thing he mentions about his past is that he persecuted the church of God. That's what he says. One thing that he talks about when referring to his past, I persecuted the church of God. I know that gnawed at the Apostle Paul. That was something that bothered him. I'm sure for a while that was a dark cloud that hung over his head, even after he got saved, knowing that he was responsible before he got saved for the arrest, torture, and death of Christians. Paul was responsible for that before he got saved. You read in the book of Acts and you get the details on what I'm talking about here. You find that he would travel from city to city to get any Christian he could get, and it didn't matter if it was man, woman, boy, or girl. He showed no favoritism. If it was anybody that professed allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, he would have them arrested. He'd have them brought back to Jerusalem. He would have them tortured. He would compel them, the Bible says, to blaspheme. He would torture them or have them tortured so that they would recant or go against what they said they believed about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about when Stephen was stoned. Stephen, a godly man himself. He's being stoned to death. And it says that the ones who were stoning Stephen laid their clothes down at the feet of a young man by the name of Saul. You know who that turns out to be? That turns out to be Paul. And it says about him that he was consenting unto his death. That means that Paul approved of what those people did to Stephen. It made him happy. It gave him some degree of gratification to see those men stone Stephen to death. So when I talk about Paul's past, I'm not talking about some little thing like, you know, he went off and got drunk one time. I'm not talking about he slipped up and said a cuss word. I'm talking about a man who had something in his past. You know what I'm saying? This is a man responsible before he got saved for the arrest, torture, and death of I don't know how many saved people. But the thing I understand as I read on in Philippians chapter 3 is that Paul was not moved by his past. Even though I know that bothered him and he felt horrible about what he had done before he got saved, this is what Paul says as you get on down in Philippians chapter 3. He says, forgetting, y'all listening to me? Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what he's saying? Here's my past. This is what I was before I got saved. This is what I did before I got saved, but I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. I'm forgetting those things and I'm pressing on. He did not allow himself to become overcome with grief and guilt because of his past so that he could not do what God wanted him to do in his present or in his future. He was not moved by his past. Now, why is that important? Well, could we all agree today that we have a past? Every one of us. Now, some of us got more in our past than others. Can we agree on that? Some of us went a little more crazy than others did. And I can tell you this morning, I got some stuff in my past that I feel bad about. I'm not happy about it at all. Some of you in here are the same way. And if we're not careful, we'll let that hinder us in our relationship with the Lord. If we're not careful, we'll let what we did in the past hinder us. We have to be like Paul and press on in spite of what we have in the past. And that's not always easy, because here's what I've learned about past. I've learned that there will always, always, always be someone around to remind you of your past. Have y'all noticed that? The devil will make sure of it, by the way. That there's always somebody there who will try to dangle over your head something that's in your past. They'll remind you of something you did. They'll talk about what you did. They'll even try to make you think that because of what you did in your past, you are now not qualified to do anything for God. You are now a second-rate Christian in the kingdom of God, and you'll never be able to do what all these other Christians can do who never acted like you did before they got saved. They'll do that to you and try to give you a guilt trip because of your past. Even people in church will do it. Let me say something to you, folks. Some of the most self-righteous people you'll ever meet in your life go to church every Sunday. They're quick to dangle over you things that you got in your past. I'm going to say this to you this morning. You listen very carefully to what Brother Keith's got to say. Your past, before you got saved, is under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has been washed away and forgiven forever. Do you understand? It doesn't matter what anybody says about you or thinks about you. That stuff is under the blood and washed away. I got a lot of things that people remind me of. Sometimes it's folk that I knew from my past, and they're not trying to remind me of it because they want me to feel guilty. They just want to sit around and laugh about it and talk about it and remind me of the good old days. Those aren't the good old days in my life. Those are those days in my past that I'm like Paul, forgetting so that I can press on now and do what God wants me to do. I don't want to get drugged down by my past. And it doesn't matter to me, really, what anybody thinks about my past. I know in my heart that I've been forgiven by the Lord, and I need to move on with my life. And the same is true for you. Don't let yourself be dragged down by what's in the past. Don't beat yourself up. And this is not in any way a justification of any wrong we've done. I'm not trying to justify it. If we did wrong, we did wrong. Amen. But hey, isn't it wonderful to know that when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood washes you and cleanses you from all sin? Isn't that a blessing? Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that that's how it is? That's the way it is, friend. And you don't have to spend the rest of your life living on a guilt trip because of something or a whole bunch of somethings that you did in your past. You can put that stuff behind you and press on for the glory of God. And this is what I know about the Lord. I know that the Lord can take lemons and make lemonade out of it. Now, I'm not proud of some of the things, but here's what I've noticed that God will do. He's done this with me. I'm not proud of things I did in the past, but I tell you what He's doing even now. He's using some of that mess that I made back there to help me minister to people right now. He's doing that. Now, still, I'm not proud of it, and I'm not saying I wish I could do it, or I'm glad I did it. I'm not saying that if I went back I wouldn't change, because hopefully I would. But the fact is, I've done those things, and now God is actually using some of that stuff to help me be a better minister in dealing with people. So you don't have to be moved by your past. You can move on. Let me give you something else. My time is fast running out here. Paul was not moved by his past. Number two, let me say this. Paul was not moved by people. He was not moved by people. Go to the book of Acts. Well, we're already there, but go back to chapter 17. And I've just picked a couple here to look at. You could go to so many places, but I want to give you a few examples. Paul was not moved by his past. He was able to forget what was behind and press on. He was not moved by people. And if there was ever a man who knew what it was like to deal with people, that's one of the things about life, amen? You just have to deal with people. That's it. You have to deal with yourself, and then we have to deal with other folk. That's life. That's the way it is. And sometimes people are not a help. People are a hindrance. Acts chapter 17, look at verse 5. The first part of this chapter is talking about when Paul was in Thessalonica, and this is what it says in verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, which a Bible way of saying they were low life, good for nothings. I mean, really, that's what that means. Lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, got everybody in the whole city stirred up, and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." They're trying to find Paul. They've got the whole place stirred up because of Paul. So Paul leaves, the brethren sent him away. He goes on down to Berea. Look at verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. Look at this. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they rejoiced and were happy for Paul. Is that what it says? No. They came thither also and stirred up the people. Paul had to deal with people constantly. People who did not agree with him, did not approve of him, and were constantly trying to hinder him. He's there in Thessalonica, he's preaching, some people get saved. And then the Jews get all stirred up because of envy, and they set the whole city on an uproar and have Paul run out of town, basically. Well, he goes down to Berea. They're not satisfied to leave him alone now that he's gone. They find out he's preaching down in Berea, so guess what they do? They get on their horse and buggy or walk or whatever they got to do, and they come down to Berea, and they cause him problems there. Well, here's the thing that I notice about Paul. In spite of this opposition, in spite of all the opposition he faced, you know what he did? He just kept pressing on. He might have to leave one place and go to another, but he just kept pressing on. He was not moved by people. There will always be people who don't approve of what you believe, where you stand on certain issues. They will not approve. There'll always be somebody that'll mock and ridicule. People that will lie and slander. People that will try to stand in the way. I think about Nehemiah back in the Old Testament. He's trying to rebuild that wall. And he's got some people, some Jews rallied around. They're trying to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. There was these three fellas. Y'all know the story? Them three fellas. Tobiah, Sanballat, and Gershom. Three men. You know what they did the whole time Nehemiah and those Jews are trying to rebuild that wall? They told lies. They sent letters to the king accusing Nehemiah of rebelling against the king. They'd stand and mock them and make fun of them. They went over there one day and told them that their wall was so feeble that if a fox ran across it, it would fall down. Just constantly lying and mocking and doing everything that they could to prevent them from building that wall. But here's the thing about Nehemiah, just like Paul, he refused to be moved. You know what he did? He told all them people, he said, "Get you a weapon. Stand on the wall. We're going to build this wall." Unmovable. Refusing to be moved by opposition from others. Listen, there's not a whole lot to me in what I say I believe if I'm going to crumble and fold up just because somebody doesn't approve of what I believe. There ain't much to me, friend. I ain't got much backbone, and I ain't near as big a Christian as I have made myself out to be if I fumble and fold up
like a house of cards just because somebody mocks me or makes fun of me or lies about me. Since I've been in the ministry, I could stand here and tell you for hours lies that people have told about me just because I made them mad by preaching the truth. Now, what kind of preacher would I be? What kind of preacher would I be if, because people didn't approve of what I believed and how I preached, if I just quit, went off and got some other job and didn't fulfill the ministry that was given to me just because somebody didn't approve of it? What kind of Christian are you if you get mad and you quit, or you get your feelings hurt and you quit because some person doesn't approve of you? How many of you know in here there's a lot of people don't approve of you? I mean, if you're actually saved and trying to live for God and speaking up, standing up, there's a lot of people don't approve of you. All you got to do nowadays to get on people's bad side is just say you don't believe homosexuality is right, and then they on your bad side. I mean, look where we are now in this world. All you got to do is just say, I believe that marriage should be between a man and a woman, and then people, you know, you're a bigot, hate speech and all that kind of stuff. And you know what I see a lot of Christians and a lot of preachers and a lot of churches doing? They're being moved by this. Where they once were real militant and taking a stand on it. We believe that and we ain't going to ever change. Now they're getting a little pressure from the public and they're afraid they're going to get put in jail or the church is going to get closed down or something like that. So now, you know what they're doing? We need to be a little more tolerant. Welcome men. Let me tell you something. You're going to have to find you a new preacher. You may want one, but I'm going to tell you, you will definitely have to find you another preacher if y'all decide to open up these doors and welcome that kind of mess in here. Amen. By the grace of God, I shall not be moved on that mess. Amen. And it doesn't matter if people are offended by that or not. The truth is the truth. We don't need to be moved by people who don't approve of us. It's 12 o'clock. I'm going to give you three more. Just going to mention these. Number three, Paul was not moved by persecution. Acts chapter 14, verses 19 to 22. I was going to take you there. We just simply do not have the time. Paul goes to a place called Lystra. The people there get mad with him. They drag him out of the city and they stone him to the point of death. Matter of fact, a lot of people thought he was dead. He gets up, dusts himself off, walks back into the city. He leaves the next day and he goes around checking on some other places where he's been before on a previous journey. And after he gets done checking on them, you know where he goes back to? The Bible said he went right back to Lystra. Now, if I go somewhere and they drag me out of the city and stone me to the point of death, I don't plan on spending my next vacation there. You know what I mean? Paul refused to be moved by persecution. Do what you will to me was his attitude. But if I believe God wants me to go there, I'm going. He went and checked on those other places. He believed God wanted him to go back to Lystra, a place where he had been stoned almost to death. You know what he did? He went right back to Lystra, the unmovable man. This is the reason, friend, why he's a hero to me. A fellow who refused to be moved by his past, refused to be moved by people, refused to be moved by persecution. Here's a number four. He refused to be moved by problems. Problems. I got to show you this. Turn real quick to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to be done in just a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We all have problems. That's part of living in life. You just have problems, right? You can try as hard as you want to avoid them, but you can't avoid them. Problems are just part of living. Things break down. Things tear up. Stuff happens. That's just life. And sometimes it happens while you're trying to serve the Lord. We can get all bent out of shape and allow these problems to move us, or we can just keep pressing on. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me just read this to you real quick. Verse 23. This is what Paul says. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. He's talking about being whipped is what he's talking about. in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Look at this list of things. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 5 different times they put 39 lashes on his back. You know what he did? He just kept pressing on. He wasn't moved by it. 3 times was I beaten with rods. 3 times. 3 times somebody beat him with rods. 1 time I was stoned. That's when he was at Lystra. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. 1 night and 1 day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. People robbed him. In perils by mine own countrymen, the Jews. In perils by the heathen, that's the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. Perils is dangers. He says, I've been in all this. Verse 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You know what I see when I read that? I see a man who had some problems. Real problems, friend. Beaten with rods, stripes laid on his back, shipwrecked, 1 night and 1 day in the deep, people robbing him, mistreating him. He had real problems. Not some of this stuff that we make such an issue out of now. Isn't it amazing the petty stuff that people whine about nowadays? These people that want so much attention and just whine. I mean, they get a hangnail. Oh, pastor, come pray for me, you know. Good grief. It's amazing. Here's a man who had real problems. Real problems. And you know what he did? He just kept pressing on. The unmovable man. It's amazing the things that I see people whine about and the things that I see people quit over today. It's amazing. Just the least little old thing and people drop out. Least little old thing and they quit, give up on God. It's amazing. Here's the last thing, and this is right here in 2 Corinthians 12. Paul was not moved by physical pain. Physical pain. Besides all the stuff that he had to deal with, he had something in his flesh that bothered him every day. Look right here at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." He had a problem, something in his flesh, an infirmity of some kind. 3 times he said, "Lord, please take this thing away from me." Did God take it away? There's no record in the Bible that he did. But what he said is, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know what Paul did in spite of having to deal with a thorn in the flesh every day? Y'all ever had a thorn in the flesh, by the way? Not very comfortable, is it? It hurts. It's painful. It's irritating. And this thing obviously was bad enough that Paul prayed 3 times for the Lord to take it away. So we're not talking about something insignificant. It was a major deal. Something really wrong with him that caused him pain and discomfort every day. And he asked God to take it. The Lord didn't take it. You know how a lot of people are when they pray and say, "Lord, take this away from me." And because he doesn't take it away, you know what they'll do, many of them? They'll get mad with God and quit. We're so spoiled. Amen? We're spoiled. I mean, let's just be honest. We're so used to getting everything that we want that whenever God says no, how many of you know he'll tell you no sometimes? You better believe he'll tell you no sometimes. So whenever God says no, I'm not going to do that like you asked me to, some people get mad with God and they quit. Or some people allow themselves to get so wrapped up in the pain that the pain becomes their life. And every time you get around them, that's all they want to talk about. Never do they want to talk about Jesus anymore. Never do they want to talk about church anymore. Never do they want to talk about the Bible anymore. Anytime you get around them, they just want to talk about their pain, their pain, their pain. And I'm not minimizing their pain because it's very real for many of them. What I'm saying is if you're not careful, you'll get so wrapped up in the pain that that pain becomes your life. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to get your mind off of Jesus Christ and heaven and the Bible and lost souls and get all wrapped up in the pain that you're going through. That's what he wants. Because when he does that, he's rendered you useless. Useless. But Paul wasn't moved by physical pain. He just kept pressing on, the unmovable man, so that when it was all said and done, he could say and say honestly, I finished my course. When I get to the end, whatever it is, whether it's the rapture, death, whatever, here's what you're not going to be able to say. He was perfect. I'm not perfect. Y'all know that by now, don't you? Not perfect. Not going to be able to say I was perfect. Not going to be able to say I handled every situation just right, that I was the best pastor in all the world. There's a whole lot about me that people will not be able to say. This is what I hope and pray to God they can say. He finished his course. He didn't quit. I don't want to be a casualty, do you? Amen. I hope that each one of you will press on and press upward and stay faithful and not be moved by anything that you go through. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the examples we find in Scripture. Lord, I pray for each one of us that's saved that you'll help us, Lord, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I know that we have problems, trials, we have things we have to go through, stuff we have to deal with. Lord, help us to not be moved, to be faithful all the days of our life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother.
Turn to page 43.